fighting for America.
We are on the brink of a first in the fight against Obamacare because Republicans have never attacked the ACA with majorities in the House and the Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. It's unpatriotic.
Fighting for you.
You have the first African-American president. You have an African-American attorney general. And 6 years into their effort, we are in some ways further apart, not close together. That's a tragic failure of leadership at the very top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, well, well. Kevin Miller in the Morning. Welcome to Tuesday. A little foggy out, huh? Take your time. We'll have latest traffic and weather coming up. And all those other usual things that you find here at 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Joining us now, our great friend Alex Kincaid, attorney, Second Amendment advocate, and probably a really good shot. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good to have you with us. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I know you've been up to your old shenanigans, making sure that the Second Amendment is alive and well, not only in Idaho, but throughout the region and the country. Your thoughts right now on a new Congress, a new legislature coming in, does that mean more gun freedoms or perhaps less in Idaho and in America?
I think we can remain hopeful. You know, we can't give up, or everything everything bad that we're afraid is going to happen will happen. So, you know, keep a positive attitude and keep charging ahead.
I'm with you on that. But when you take a look at, you know, the court cases, when people have issues with weapons and guns, they come to you to protect their rights. How do you see the attitude of government, I guess, in general? And this is kind of an open-ended question, when it comes to, you know, the individual's right to keep and bear arms.
I think we're moving in a positive direction. I know a lot of people are going to poo-poo that, you know, oh, no, you know, it's terrible, it's horrible. And it is still horrible out there. It's not where we want to be. But we have seen some good court cases coming down across the country in favor of the Second Amendment over this last year, and I think that's going to continue.
Now, my big concern, and we've talked about this on and off the air, is, gosh forbid, if we would lose that 5-4 Supreme Court that we've had for so many years, we've become accustomed to it, overturning the gun restrictions in Illinois and Washington, D.C. I mean, what would that mean if we had another lib in there for gun rights?
Yeah, it means that some of these cases that we're seeing at the lower federal level, if they make their way to the Supreme Court, it's possible that we get an adverse ruling. But we still have two good rulings coming out of 2008 and 2010 that are holding fast, and it would take a lot to overturn those. It's just possible that we have some justices that might narrow those opinions in a way that wouldn't be what we would want as gun owners.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Before we get to some state issues, obviously a couple big issues in the news lately, the tragic death of a 29-year-old mother who was shopping at Walmart, shot to death by her 2-year-old. Your thoughts initially on this case?
I have two main points on that, Kevin. And number one, of course, is, you know, she violated a huge rule for gun owners. Never leave your gun unattended where it's accessible to other people who could use it to harm you or anyone else. Huge, very important. Responsible gun owners don't do that. And she made a mistake in allowing her 2-year-old access to that firearm. But number two, of course, this is an accident that involved a firearm, so it's being exploited, and more people are hearing about this than other tragic accidents that happen every day across the country with other tools. You know, I wonder how many people have heard about the kid that chopped his mom's head off with an axe on New Year's Eve. Probably not as many who have heard about this Walmart case.
Yeah, not to the extent, and when we talk about this, and again, let me apologize in advance for this question. Are there any separate rules for men and women when it comes to firearm safety and all?
No. The rules are the same across the board. If you have a gun, you know, you need to make sure that it is not accessible to a 2-year-old. And you can be charged not only criminally for recklessly endangering or a similar law in another state, but you can be charged or sued for a tort, which is leaving a firearm where it might be accessible to someone who may use it against you or another person can find you on the wrong end of a lawsuit, essentially. And in this case, of course, the person wound up deceased, which is horribly tragic, but the rules are the same.
Sure. So never leave your gun unattended. And certainly when you, I guess some people become so comfortable with their weapons that they forget that it's there. I've had friends that have unfortunately been arrested for going into a courthouse with a weapon. That seems to happen. Or going to an airport with a weapon.
Right. Not only the weapon, but maybe just parts of it. And, it's easy to forget. It becomes something that is very common to you as a gun owner. You put it in the wrong place. You forget that it's there. I'm sure this woman thought it's zippered in a purse and, her two-year-old wouldn't have the time or the ability to get in there, get the gun, and pull the trigger. But obviously that can happen.
Alex, for those of us here at 580KIDO that, we fire our weapons, we do these type of things, I guess it's unthinkable that a two-year-old would be able to get that weapon and to reach in and fire it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may be unthinkable, but, the number one rule here is, if it's your gun, it's your responsibility. Don't become irresponsible. Don't be lazy. Always know where it is, and don't allow it to be accessible to others. Now, unfortunately, bad things happen. Accidents happen. And in this instance, it was the worst possible outcome. Maybe not the worst possible. I suppose the child could have shot someone else as well.
Well, what will happen to the child, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a child psychologist. The child is two. So who knows what the memories are going to be going forward and whether, that memory will be imprinted of what he saw.
Sure. No, not only that, but I'm thinking about legally if anything will happen to the child. I was...
Of course not. No, that child could not form any kind of intent that would make him responsible in any way.
And then you've got this phony report on Facebook saying that the child is... been taken to a maximum facility place and going to get the death penalty and all. I'm going, who writes this stuff?
Oh, the nonsense. And I'll tell you, I even had a scathing remark on one of my Facebook posts. Facebook drives me crazy, by the way. But somebody said, oh, I hope you have I hope you don't have a purse and shop at Walmart. And it's just that people are out there making stuff up, blowing things out of proportion, exploiting this, of course, because a firearm was involved. And using it for their own agendas. So, it just follows this kind of a tragedy.
Well, and that's the thing that we want to certainly avoid and raise awareness here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But what about places like Walmart and Starbucks and these places when it comes to, being armed? We have our great friend Tony Sinesco, who openly carries all the time, and to make sure that those rights are always, his and ours and such. But when it comes to the workplace or it comes to the stores or churches and such, what's your opinion on that?
I think that, people can carry wherever they can lawfully carry, but they need to do it responsibly again. I know Tony, and I don't think someone's going to easily come up and take his gun and shoot another person. He knows where it is. He's aware of it. And you can't lose that awareness while you're carrying a firearm. If you're going to put your firearm in your purse, you better not leave your purse sitting around.
Sure. And here's the thing that I don't understand is America was founded on guns, literally, and yet we have people that want to disarm us. When you're in court and when you're representing folks, what are you surprised by that argument that, a safe America is a disarmed America?
Well, I've heard it so often now.
Right.
No, I'm not surprised. No, I think, there are plenty of people out there who would be thrilled if we were relieved of any and all gun rights in this country. And we're not going to give up that fight. That's why I say you have to maintain your positive attitude and not give up. We have to keep going forward. We have to keep fighting and not just worry about what's going to happen and what could happen. So, keep going. Keep educating. I love the education part of my practice, and I love what you're doing on the radio. You're an excellent resource and advocate for gun rights, and you help people hear these issues and understand them and get the word out. Gun owners aren't freaks. This woman in Walmart, this was a tragedy. She unfortunately became irresponsible with her firearm. That doesn't mean she was always irresponsible. That means she was busy. She was in a store with a two-year-old, and she became lazy, in that moment. And unfortunately, it ended her life.
Well, here's the thing. By the way, Alex Kincaid with us, attorney, and your practice, Alex, I see the ads all the time. I see you firing the weapons. You protect people's rights to keep and bear arms. What else do you do?
You know what? My practice has really turned into I represent gun owners and gun-related businesses, conservative Americans in all of their planning needs. I started in private practice doing broad business and estate planning for folks to try to help keep them out of court after I had spent about a decade as a trial attorney. And now, you know, I do a lot of the same things, but my clientele are a focused group, mostly people who might have, you know, maybe they just have one gun or, you know, it's a gun business.
Indeed, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and how people are trying to, I guess, go after gun businesses and such here at 580KIDO. You know, this woman was not a, you know, she was a nuclear scientist, literally, graduated from the University of Idaho, the young lady that unfortunately was killed by her kid. But, I mean, she had a concealed carry permit. She she lived the life. So it wasn't as if she was, you know, as she's being tried to be portrayed as just some crazy person. When you talk about gun owners and you being one of them and practice and such, they're probably some of the most logical folks that you know.
Some of the most logical, some of the most responsible folks that I know. That's why I love working with gun owners.
What are the challenges for gun-owning businesses? You know, we hear the ads all the time here on 580KIDO about gun stores and such, but they could be targets of lawsuits and people seeking to go after them as well.
Well, you did hear about the manufacturer being sued by the Sandy Hook victims, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's an unusual kind of case. I think one of the day-to-day challenges for our gun-related businesses is if you think about all the things that a business has to do to protect itself, basically, and then you add an entire new layer, which is the ATF compliance work, and having someone knock on your door and say, we want to review your records. And if you've entered something, you know, which maybe in a day-to-day business would be minor, but in ATF's world is a, quote, violation, that makes your business all the more challenging. And it is the constant concern of, you know, gosh, if I sell a gun to the wrong person, I'm going to come under scrutiny. I could lose my license, my ability to have a business if I do something wrong here. That's added pressure, and it just makes those business owners have to be all the more diligent and pay attention to the details.
Well, it just seems that we're trying to run folks out of business.
Well, sure. Sure it is. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to get a report of violation, certainly, and most gun businesses have a violation in any given year, meaning they haven't done something absolutely correctly in their record keeping or in their sales process. But, you know, I've also helped businesses who have a license revocation proceeding and had to go to the federal courthouse and sit in a hearing and argue why that business should be able to keep their federal firearms license and continue in business.
Well, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that coming up. By the way, if you mind if we have any questions for you as well?
No.
All right. More coming up here with our great friend, Attorney Alex Kincaid. If you have a question concerning gun rights, gun ownership, here and protecting your Second Amendment rights in Idaho and abroad and in America, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Our friend Alex Kincaid with us. We're talking about the laws about guns and attorneys and everything else, which she is one. Now, before we get to how do you defend somebody who might have their legal right to keep and bear arms taken away, it's amazing this story out of Hayden, Idaho, is continuing to get national play. You have folks on one side saying you need more gun training. On the other hand, you have people like today's Huffington Post. The only way to make the gun debate disappear is to disarm the public.
You want me to comment?
Well, yeah. And, you know, not only that, but you've got the Boston Globe running major editorials about this incident. It's just amazing. Instead of focusing in on, as you have, the real world issue here. People have used this tragic death, this killing, to promote their own cause.
Well, and they always will. You know, I don't think that's ever going to stop, Kevin. And most gun owners get more training, and they are looking for answers. They're trying to understand what the rules are, how to best not only protect themselves but protect other people, such as the child in this incident. But accidents happen, and you know, unfortunately, when a firearm is involved in an accident, it is exploited far more than when anything else is used. And we hear tragic stories all the time, such as, you know, kids getting run over with lawnmowers or, you know, horrible, horrible things that are not exploited to this degree. But most gun owners are responsible. They seek out more training. Advocates like you and I try to help people understand that getting a concealed weapons permit is not the end of training. It is the very beginning of training for most gun owners.
You know, I'm looking at, and again, it's interesting, Forbes just published an infographic talking about the most gun-friendly states. Of course, now it's gone down, but it's been picked up by some websites. So here I go. I might be quoting something. Gosh forbid anybody, Alex, in the media, quote something that's inaccurate, but we'll see what happens here. Apparently, the most gun-friendly state is Wyoming with almost 200 people per 1,000. Washington, D.C. is second, and people can't believe that, but I mean, you couldn't own a weapon in Washington, D.C. for quite some time, right?
Right.
Arkansas third, New Mexico, Virginia, then Idaho, about 24 people every 1,000 residents. Just how gun-friendly is the Gem State?
Wow, that number sounds a little low.
Mm-hmm.
24 per 1,000, I don't think that's quite accurate, and I think maybe, I don't know who's doing the surveys and how they're checking that they're reporting. Is it self-reporting by gun owners? Because my clients don't like to talk about what guns they have or if they even have guns.
Well, I don't know why we wouldn't trust our great federal government.
Nobody wants to be on the list, right?
Right.
Gosh, that sounds really low. I don't know what to say to that. I haven't. Who did that survey?
It was by Forbes, and they cite Bloomberg and the ATF.
Oh.
Exactly. But based on your travels in the state and protecting people's rights to keep and bear arms, Alex, how gun-friendly are they? Remember, was it a few years ago when you were speaking at the rallies throughout the state that we were mad that we were number 32 from guns and ammo? Now, I believe we've moved up, but, I mean, you know, you're in the industry. How gun-friendly are we?
I think we're pretty gun-friendly. I mean, you know, look, we're one of the states that doesn't have restrictive laws that goes beyond, you know, what the federal level says we can own as far as firearms. We can own any kind of firearm that is legal under the federal laws. We can own it in the state of Idaho. Suppressors, full autos. People who move here from other states are shocked often to find that out, right? And we have, you know, rules that are protective of the Second Amendment. We have this preemption law. I think you had Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance on not too long ago, talking about their preemption project. That's because we have a law that says that, you know, we support the Second Amendment, and we're not going to allow smaller government bodies to make rules that violate our Second Amendment protections. So these ranking systems look at different things. I don't know if you're calling random houses and asking if you have guns, you know, how accurate that's going to be.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, subjective personal opinion that goes into the guns and ammo polls about what the laws say and how gun friendly they are. So, you know, being the middle of the road in the guns and ammo review, there's certainly things that can be improved here. But I think overall, we are very gun friendly in Idaho, and we're fortunate to live here.
Well, since you mentioned our great friend Greg Pruitt, what's your thoughts on the constitutional carry issue that he continues to champion?
I think, you know, he's outstanding for continuing to move forward in that effort. He's brought it up now, I think, I want to say 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, you talk about having a positive attitude and going forward. This year, there's more momentum than ever behind that movement. And other states are moving that in that direction. He has done some digging and found advocates from those states who are in law enforcement who are willing to come forward and say, look, you know, we were kind of against this and we were worried about it, but as it turns out, this hasn't increased crime. This hasn't been a problem in our state. Constitutional carry, I think one of the big myths about what constitutional carry means is that all of a sudden people who are criminals are going to be carrying guns. You know, fallacy. Every time that argument is brought up, it's ridiculous. Criminals don't care what the law is. Constitutional carry simply means that law-abiding gun owners like you and me aren't going to have to go through a government process to get an extra permit to tuck our gun under our shirt or somewhere else instead of open carrying. And people who are anti-gun complain about the open carriers, right? Oh, you know, you walk around with a gun on your hip. But then they make it harder to get a concealed carry permit.
Alex, let's go to the phones quickly to Carol in Nampa at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Carol.
Morning. I have a question, Kevin and Alex, about the shall not be infringed part. What does that mean to Alex legally or just in general? Or I've always been confused about that for a long time because obviously there is infringement. You know, so how can that be fixed for people?
Right. And the problem, and that question comes up a lot, because the plain wording of the Constitution is exactly as you say, shall not be infringed. And here we have laws coming out of the federal government since 1934 that are whittling away our Second Amendment rights. So what the courts have said is we can have reasonable restrictions, on the people's right to keep and bear arms. That does not completely take away a person's right to keep and bear arms for self-defense purposes. And the courts are still trying to figure out what that means. Across the country, you could have the exact same case with someone wanting to own a certain type of firearm or carry in a certain way in a certain place, like open carry or concealed carry outside the home. And depending on what court your district is, you could have a different outcome. So that's why when we started this talk this morning about what's going on across the country, I said, you know, some of these cases may make their way to the Supreme Court eventually, and then we will have a firm decision. And if we have the wrong justices in there, it may not be the decision that we want.
That's a good point, Carol. Thank you for the call. Alex Kincaid, if people want to get a hold of you, obviously on Facebook, your phone number.
Facebook or phone number is 208-365-4411 in Emmett or 345-6308. That's my Eagle office. I'm easy to find on the web, alexkincaid.com or alexkincaidlaw.com. And we have a whole new program, Kevin, for gun owners where we have a membership program, and I will defend people through trial if they ever have to use their firearm in self-defense. So be sure to check that out.
Tough call. Which place do you like better, Eagle or Emmett?
You know, Emmett is my home now. I live out in the country. I can shoot from my deck.
Right.
So you gotta love Emmett. But, you know, Eagle is, it brings me closer to the city and a lot of folks that I work with. I spend 2 days in Emmett, 2 days in Eagle, and then Friday's kind of a day where, you know, this week I'm in trial. So it just depends.
Well, thank you for taking time. We'd love to have you back.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. Alex Kincaid with us. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Hope you're having a great day. We'll work hard to make it a little better. Joining us now, Simon Owen from Fox News Radio with a story that touches the heart of every person, Olympian or non-Olympian. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Kevin.
I wish we had better news to discuss today, but the tragic deaths of two U.S. Olympic skiers.
Yes, and certainly prospects for possibly the next Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea in 2018. This is 19-year-old Bryce Astle and 20-year-old Ronnie Burlak. They were part of the U.S. development team, so they'd been picked after, you know, decent results at national championships and this sort of thing to train and learn the ropes with the U.S. ski team, the hope being in a year or two they would be full members. But they were out doing what they call free skiing yesterday in Austria near the U.S. ski team's training base in the Austrian Alps at a resort called Solden, out with four others, and an avalanche was triggered, and the other four got away unhurt, according to the US ski team, but these two young men didn't, and they were found dead on the slopes after a pretty serious search, but with helicopters and all sorts.
Boy, you know, we've got some mountains here in the western United States, Simon, and let me ask you, I mean, how big is this area? How big are the Alps? I mean, we hear about them all the time, but it must be enormous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually have the figures of their exact size, but this is a huge range and fantastically popular for skiing, and Austria is just one of the European epicenters for this sort of thing. Also, this place, Solden, is where one of the regular fixtures in the Skiing World Cup each year takes place, and that's presumably one of the reasons that the US chose to base itself there. And it's been based there for a few years for its European operation, so it's an area that the American ski team does know well. And the Austrians, like the Swiss, like the French, you know, a number of European countries know skiing, they know the precautions that have to be taken, and so there is a detailed warning system in place. And yesterday there was an avalanche warning in effect. It was rated at level 3 on a 5-point scale, and that means that there is thought to be a considerable risk of an avalanche, but clearly it's not a 4 or a 5. It's not one of the top ratings, and it's down to the skier at their discretion whether they want to take the chance with it. If you're a particularly good skier, as these two fellas no doubt were, then you presumably feel more confident to take on perhaps a slightly higher risk than a regular skier would do. But either way, you know, I mean, I think this is just being seen as a just a tragedy that it happened, and not necessarily anyone to blame. It just something went horribly, horribly wrong.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, as you've detailed, Simon, here at 580 KIDO, these kids were, maybe they were young, but they'd been on the slopes for many, many years.
Yes, I mean, if you're that good, you can probably take a guess that they've been doing it since childhood, and they'd been, as I say, getting decent results at national level. Then they get invited to join this development team, and it's a chance to go around the world with the ski team and get a feel for it, and then start taking part in the World Cup. And then I think it's fair to say most skiers target the Winter Olympics, and so these two in prime position, really, with the Winter Olympics 3 years away, really very well placed for potentially getting into the squad for those Olympic Games in South Korea. So, you know, we're told by the head of the US Ski and Snowboard Association they're both outstanding ski racers, but we're also very passionate about their sport. And one of them, Bryce Astell in particular, there's a video out there of him launching a crowdfunding drive to get along with his skiing dreams in a spectacularly expensive sport to get into. And so they were really out there driving and trying to get support to keep going at this, you know, live the dream of being a professional skier, travel around the world doing the sport you love. And they were on that road, but unfortunately, you know, are not going to get very far down it.
You know, has anybody figured out why that they didn't make it and the others did, and the reaction from the folks there in the international ski community? Do we have anything?
No word on what happened and how the other four got away, but I mean, depending on the avalanche, it is perfectly achievable to ski out of an avalanche, depending, as I say, on the severity and the type of avalanche. And who knows, maybe these two were at the back of the group of six and the front, four at the front just managed to get away. But we don't know what happened. We also don't know who they were, whether they were fellow members of this development team, which we think has about 10 skiers on it. So it's not clear. But yeah, I mean, certainly from the ski and snow, the US ski team, they seem to be quite shaken, the management team, from when we've heard from them. And there's also been some tributes, because the team is racing today in Zagreb, Croatia, any time now, actually. I think they may just have gone, and they were wearing black armbands for the racing, and there's an American flag flying at half staff, and they were going to have a 30-second moment of silence organized by the International Ski Federation, I suppose, the organizers of this competition. And that would have been their kind of international tribute. It's going to be felt by probably all sorts of international skiers, I'm sure, but not least among the US ski team, which is a big old squad, but really not that big, and many of them, if not all of them, will have known these two.
Simon, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Simon Owen joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, is it possible that the West will get their lands back? We'll find out at 8:05. First time for traffic on this foggy morning in the Treasure Valley.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at the lands battle and why it really matters to you and everyone else. But, you know, from the network that brought us Kate and Nate Makes 27 and, you know, just, what is it, My Seven Wives, a new attack on the Mormon Church from TLC, courtesy of our friends at The Blaze. TLC is sparking a new major controversy involving a soon-to-be titled My Husband's Not Gay. That's right, My Husband's Not Gay. You know, the people that maybe somebody says it, well, they're just gay and they don't know it. Well, apparently TLC is taking this to heart. It's centered on men with same-sex attraction who are married to women, as tens and thousands of protesters are asking the network to cancel the program over its supposedly false and dangerous message. Apparently, it's going to feature three married couples focusing the on what they call the unconventional Mormon marriages. Now, TLC has to be the most anti-LDS network that I've ever watched. My Sister Wives, then it's My Seven Wives, and now this one. Let's take a look at the latest outrage.
There's no marriage that is perfect. Ours isn't. But with our faith in God, we believe we can overcome anything.
Okay, sounds
good. I like to
good.
Say I've chosen an alternative to an alternative lifestyle.
I'm attracted to my wife, for sure. And I'm definitely attracted to men, too.
He's a good-looking guy, for sure.
Well, I'm interested in men. I'm just not interested in men.
That's clear.
So are they gay or not?
I get a little defensive when somebody calls my husband gay.
The whole act is against the teachings of the gospel. I don't think people understand it.
You're attracted to men, but you're going on a date with a girl.
I want to marry a woman, but I don't know how to work out these feelings.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm attracted to men.
Okay, there we have it. My husband's not gay. Now, just when you thought other reality shows could not hit a lower mark, and people will watch it, because like the media, like other things that go on, people love to attack established, traditional, conservative, moral, religious institutions. And here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning, we sit there and protect those institutions. And maybe it was a conversation I had with a friend of mine when we were talking about pornography. And I was in church the other day, and I was listening to the priest give his homily, which is a little speech after the gospel. And he was talking about sins. And he was saying that the number one sin among men and women, and again, Catholics, go to confession, you humbly, and it's been a long time since Kevin Miller's gone to confession, because, you know, it's not easy to admit your sins, your faults. And this priest, nice young man, didn't reveal what people said, but actually did an informal poll. And, you know, what would be the number one sin that people confess to? I thought it would be lying. And apparently it has to do with families and such. But the big issue with men is pornography. And I had a friend of mine talk to me about this and say, well, obviously, because it's about yourself and not the family unit. This show, attacking the family unit. To Brian in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. I wasn't able to make it in, but I would like to comment on the topic at hand. I would like to say that my husband is not gay also, and that being Jesus Christ, and that I'm of the bride of that being the church. So while I am confident in making that statement, I'm very dismayed at the approach that this specific show is going to be taking. Certainly not a show I'll be watching, nor my family.
Well, I just couldn't believe just the sound here from this, where my husband is attracted to men, but he's not gay, and I get offended, and I'm thinking, what's the purpose of this besides to tear down religious, God-fearing men?
And that is what they're looking to do. Well, you take a look at any society, you'll just see this is always the same, that they're always looking to come together, no pun intended, and just basically pagan worship is really what it is. And there's no other qualifier than just that. And pagan worship always wants to knock down the true worship and the true creation that we are that God made.
Well, and you're going to have people being influenced by this and the like. Not only that, but again, this show just reinforces what the self wants as opposed to being a good team member, a good steward of the family.
And that's exactly what we teach on in our church is the family is the core of what our foundation is. That sets the premise for a godly city, a godly county, a godly state, and a godly country.
Ryan, thank you for the call.
You bet.
All right, we go to Mike in Caldwell with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing, bud? You know, they call these reality shows, and it's not. It's just them pushing an agenda disguised, you know, trying to make people think that this is, you know, how reality is, and it's not.
No, it's kind of crazy to me, as if people would discuss this. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of strange.
Right. When you brought it up and you start talking about it, my brain just goes, what? It's like, how did you come up with this kind of stuff? If you ain't trying to push, you know, some weird, you know, thought you have of how people are.
Right. Some deviant agenda. Mike, thank you for the call. Quickly to traffic. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. And 759, currently 33 in Eagle at 580KIDO. Coming up next, Ken Ivory, representative from Utah, will join us. Utah's making some moves to get their lands back. What does it mean for industry, for jobs, for the economy in Idaho? Could we be following suit, perhaps following Utah's lead? Details next. Keep it here. Stay informed. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Good morning. Kevin Miller, Idaho's.